To walk in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that we'll love one another. We know that we love one another because we walk in the Spirit and we fellowship one another and we want to be with one another. And we want to labor together to share with one another. The Bible said, if you see your brother have need and shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And so then, if we love one another, then we'll walk together and we'll labor together and we'll be in the Spirit all the time. We'll be walking together. The Bible said love is as strong as death. And we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. David and I flew down to Panama yesterday. And while I was down there, I had the opportunity of meeting Sister Sue's sister's son, Mike, and another young fellow from out of Louisiana, Tony, a real fine guy by the name of John. And we got to witness to a number of other people and talk to a number of people. And I thought to fly on down to where the jet was, but we got started from over there too late till I decided we'd better come on back home. It was a long ways from Panama over to where the jet was anyway. But David had run across a real good deal, and he could have gotten this plane at about half of what it was worth. The boy was in a crisis, but he worked around where God worked it out to where the boy got quite a bit of money out of his plane, which I was glad for. But if we'd have dealt with him, he'd got a little more. But the man that he had formerly talked to, I think it was a Delta pilot or something, a captain. And he was so angry when he found out that David was going to buy the plane. He was so angry until he threatened to sue Mike, the boy that owned the plane. And I mean, he was vicious. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, the extra money that you would get from David, Paul, wouldn't benefit you because this man, you've hired his services, and even though you're going to pay him, I said, he's determined to cause you problems and no telling how much he'll run his services up to. And by the time he takes you in, he'll be taking what extra that you have and have you in a court scrape too. And Mike's really upset about it, but finally he took the man's offer. I told David, I said, David, the Bible said all the paths of God are peace. He asked me, he said, what should I do, Dad? I said, the Bible said all the paths of God are peace, and there's nothing peaceable about this at all. And I said, the Bible says, acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he'll direct your path. And I said, the way that you acknowledge God is by acknowledging the word as to what it said, because the word is God. And whatever the word said, I said, that's acknowledging God. And I quoted numbers of scriptures to him as to whatever. And he backed off, which was the right thing to do. Let the other man have it. I said, the Bible said, suffer the wrong. And I was explaining to David Paul in our little exhortation to him that the Lord is always talking to his children. All through the day he talks to us. Even at night when deep sleep falls upon us, he still talks to us. And you could be walking along. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, if you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can be walking along and all of a sudden you'll hear the Holy Ghost say something to you. See, the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And all of a sudden, you just be walking along, and you hear the voice of God. And the way you hear that voice of God, as a rule, thoughts will come to your mind. See, Satan speaks to you through thoughts, as from the evil mind of Lucifer, that be of the world, and savor the things that be of the flesh. And then the Lord's mind will speak to you. Now, when the Lord's mind speaks to you, that's the Heavenly Father speaking to you. The way the Holy Spirit speaks to you, which is God, the Bible said, and when He, the Spirit of truth, has come into your heart, He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've taught you. And you'll just be walking along, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to your mind just like that. You'll just be trying to find and answer or tell somebody something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will say, and it's thus and thus and thus. See, that was God speaking to you and being His sheep, having a voice to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then you heard that, and all of a sudden when you heard that, that was God that spoke to you. See, and He'll direct your path, and He'll tell you what you should do and what you should not do. And even when you're delivered up before magistrates and those that are of this world, those that give you problems. So don't premeditate. Don't get in your intellectual reasoning. Don't try to think it out. Don't do that. See, when you get there, the Bible said you don't take no thought for what you'll say, for in the selfsame hour it shall be given you that ye should speak. For it's not you that's speaking, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. That is to say, it will be your vocal organs, just like we are the human instrumentality of God. These are the only hands, eyes, mouth, and whatever He's got in the earth during the time that Jesus, the corporal body of God, is absent from the earth. See, so your members in particular. But even though it will be the sound of your vocal organs, which mine don't sound too good sometimes, praying and preaching and the things I do, I keep it in bad shape. So I don't sound like a canary every time I open my mouth. But nevertheless, it's not that part of it. It's the mind of the understanding that is conveyed to you through my human efforts as to words, and that is God speaking to you. They were all in one mind on the day of Pentecost, even the mind of Christ, and they were all with one accord to do the will of God. Seeing the Bible said the Holy Spirit came upon them, sit upon each of them like a flame of fire or tongues of fire. And they were mightily anointed of God to show that when God speaks, it is a flame of fire. He said, I make my ministers a flame of fire, and they'll devour the stubble. See, and when you speak, it's not you speaking, but as the members of Christ, that's God, the consuming fire, and your tongue is literally set on fire by the word of God. Whereas the prophet said, Lord, I'm a child. I can't speak. And they took a coal from off of the altars of God, and they put that hot coal there on his tongue and set his tongue on fire for God. So see, we are those that have tongues of fire. We speak as a flame of fire. We move as a tongue of fire. We express ourselves. And the Bible said, out of his mouth comes forth the two-edged sword that is out of the body of the Lord Jesus, and it devoureth all of his enemies. Coming back on the white horse in Revelation 19, as Jesus sits upon the white horse with a vesture dipped in blood, then you and I will be with him as that vesture dipped in blood and covered with that blood as the membership of that body on those white horses. And when he opens his mouth as to our mouth, as John said, and when he spake, it sounded like many waters, because waters symbolizes people and people opening their mouth together, everything in heaven, everything in the earth, and everything under the earth praising the Lord all together. And it sounded like many waters rumbling. And out of his mouth comes that word as to a two-edged sword, taking the sword of the Spirit, the Bible says. And out of that comes the two-edged sword to devour the enemies, and the blood runs to the horse's bridle. Let's read a little bit of scripture here, maybe a good bit of scripture here. Chapter 5, beginning at the first verse, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, you should never talk about fornication and them that do these things and all this uncleanness. I know that you ladies are bad about doing that, getting together, talking about those things and them things that's done in secret. And the Bible said it should never even be named among you, not once as becometh saints. And brethren are bad about doing those same things. And he said, you don't need to have filthiness about you, nor foolish talking. Some of you are bad about joking. And I get pictures where the ladies, they have their little showers and whatever they call them, and they just feel with foolishness during these times. The pictures show it. See, and it said, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That is to be sober. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, that is ignorance, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That is, the promise of that is eternal life. The Bible teaches you'll have long life, or you'll shorten your days if you don't honor them. That it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And to ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nutrient admonition of the Lord. That is, just don't fly into a temper and beat on them to pacify that old devil that's got a hold of you. Correct them in the right spirit for their good. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, that is, they that rule in intellectual reasoning and ignorance as concerning God. The rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know our affairs and that he might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren, in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That's reading a couple of chapters. Now, one of the things that Paul is expressing here to them that he's writing to is that you would not go out anywhere unless you be fully dressed. You would not go out in the snow or the cold weather or the ice or the cold wind unless you was dressed for the occasion, unless you was ignorant, except it be for the fact that you didn't have the needed clothing. You would not go to a gathering as to some kind of outstanding to do, as we say in the world. That is, if somebody was having a party or something that was decent and upright and they were dressed properly, it was a formal sort of a thing, or if it was some kind of evening gathering where there was going to all be together in the proper clothing. You know, you'd not go there unless you was dressed proper. Like the Bible speaks of it, don't try to come into this wedding supper unless you're dressed proper. If you're not properly dressed, you'll be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. So you wouldn't go anywhere. You know, you wouldn't go hunting unless you was dressed accordingly. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, put on the whole armor. Don't go out improperly dressed. Be sure that when you go out that you're properly dressed. Some of you here, you're not properly dressed. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. I said something about it a few days ago. See, you are not properly dressed. He said you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. You've not covered with my Shekinah, or that which was lost. When Adam and Eve lost that covering, they were improperly dressed. And no longer could they abide in the presence of God. And they cannot return to the presence of God until they are properly dressed. They must be properly dressed before they can ever return again into that wonderful atmosphere of Almighty God. There's no way that they can get there. See, he said, I said there at the garden, the flaming cherubs, and that these cherubs, the flaming swords, are turning every way to keep you out of that garden. And he speaks of the minister, I make my ministers a flame of fire, and they'll devour the stubble. And so then they're turning every way with that sword, that flaming sword, to keep you from getting past them through repentance into that garden of the grace of God, in that they are God's ministers and they bear not the sword in vain. See, and they are the ones that remit your sins and they are the ones that retain your sins. So then judgment beginning at the house of God, they're there to keep that garden. Always keep that garden. When Adam and Eve lost that proper covering, something set in on the world, and that was nakedness, lewdness. And ever since that time, there has been a problem with clothing. People have been indecent. When people were heathens, they were naked. Today there are tribes, whole tribes, that still are nude and naked. The whole tribes, and they're still cannibalistic. And they're still heathenistic. They don't know. They don't understand. The government warns you of such places. And they say, don't go into these places because the people will actually put you in the pot and eat you. Said they'll do this. They don't know any better. So far as they're concerned, you're just a strange looking animal. And you look good to eat, and so they eat you. So they warn you not to do this. So, ever since that man fell from the presence of God, he has had problems with his clothing. And he has started gradually to putting on clothes. And down through the years and down through the centuries, he's been very slow to put on proper clothing. And so then God has allowed this to show us through the heathen that mankind is without the garment of righteousness or the covering of life. And that he hath been so primitive, so slow in learning and understanding that through these things, it has taken all of these many centuries just to bring him to the proper understanding. To bring him to the proper understanding. That is to say, to clothe him inwardly as to the spiritual being of bringing back the Shekinah understanding of God that one time covered his inner being. That inner covering was gone. That spiritual covering was gone. Then man, looking through the same natural eyes, began to see the briars, and he began to see the thorns, and he began to see the curse. Because with the coming of another mind, it brought another atmosphere. It brought another condition of life. It brought another world. And so then man found himself in a different environment altogether. And ever since then, there's been problems. And I've tried to express it to you that God, who has divided asunder us to the body, soul, and spirit to go down on the inside, as it is with the physician to cut out that part that is corruptible, God has had to make this dissecting as to a separation and has manifested this at Calvary to show us this thing. As to what he's done to get out that which is bad and that which is improper within us, so that we can have life when he puts us back together again. It's like the song we sing, and Jesus took my heart all to pieces, and he put a little sunshine in. He took my heart all to pieces, and then he put it back together again. So then we find that God has all down through the years tried to get into man's heart, speak to man, tell man what he ought to be and what he ought to do, but man is so dull of hearing, and man is so unspiritual, and Satan is right there screaming in his ears, keeping him on the run all the time. He's got man on the run, saying, don't listen to those words. See, that's not good. Don't listen to it. It'll take your life away. You can't frolic. You can't have a good time. You can't enjoy all these things because God is just a killjoy. You know, he'll kill everything. And you'll just sit around and mope and you'll die of old age and you'll never have had anything during the life. He's going to kill you anyway, Satan will say. He's finally going to kill you anyway. You better live it up and do what you can while you can. See, and really it's Satan that's killing man. It's to the carnal mind that's sapping every bit of his life, taking every bit of his strength, driving him like an animal, so that Satan himself won't be cast out into the outer darkness of ignorance and won't go out into that dry world of seeking rest and can't find it, of thirsting and can't find anything to quench that thirst. So he has to blind man. He has to keep man in ignorance. He has to imprison man. And he has to keep him in that kind of condition so that he, Satan, can stay in there. Because the very minute that man's eyes come open, that means that the veil is moved and the veil is Lucifer. And that veil leaves, and when that veil of darkness is gone, man begins to see through his understanding and comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful spirit of life and power and magnificence. And so then Satan, desperately in desperation, he continues to try to blind mankind. And we've come here to preach to you just like a teacher in school. We come here to try to break this down to you. And just like Jesus in his day, when he would get out in a little boat and shove out and instruct the people, or he would go up on the mountainside like the Beatitude, the Mount of Beatitudes, and sit down there, and he would expound to the people these wonderful, glorious things and tell them the beautiful things of God. Well, anyway, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He comes here again tonight to talk to you. He comes every service to try to talk to you. And when he can find a true heart and he can find an open heart, then he talks to you. And he tries his very best to share with you these wonderful things of God. How beautiful are the multitude of his thoughts, the Bible tells us. And how beautiful are his words. For the Bible said his words are with power. They're with authority. He casteth out the unclean spirits. See, when the word of God comes, it actually cuts out, it casts out, it drives out the unclean spirits. And you find the veil gone, and you find the sunlight of this great, wonderful day star dawning within your heart, and you find it melting the coldness of death away. And all of a sudden, out of that veil comes forth this wonderful mind of Christ, which is so beautiful, like a springtime morning when the raindrops are dropping on the fresh green grass, and the smell of the sweet shrubs and honeysuckles are in the air. When the birds are all singing, and everything is so beautiful, all of these things come forth in your life. I say this so often, man lives within the radius and confines of his own thinking. And that mind is a world and it is a life. And it might be that in your life, it might be stormy, the lightning might be flashing, the winds coming to the extent that you're so fearful that you're going to be blown away, to the extent that you're not going to be able to keep your composure and you'll go to the hospital, you'll die, or you'll go to the insane asylum or something. But in another person's life, it might be that it's a bright, sunshiny day. It might be a spring morning. And this person has made contact with God and with life, and they're so happy and they're so free from the burdens and fears and frustrations of the cold winter and the snow and the winds and the ice. And they're so free from the fears of the darkness of night into the deep sleep, which man goes when he closes his eyes forever. And forever means spaces of time. It depends on how you use it. So then we find that in this, there's a world within you. I can have the world of God on the inside of me. If I have the world of God on the inside of me, then what do I have? I have the kingdom of God within me. But if I have this world in me, I don't have the kingdom of God within me. And this is why I warn you continually as people. You keep being religious, or you keep doing religious things, or you're going to get into a new way of religion. And you keep searching to see how much you can know and what you can find out and how this thing is going to work out for you. And you keep measuring yourself to see how good you are. And I tell you that all of those things are childish, because that's not the way it is. And we keep troubling people. We just get to be troublemakers, you know, because we're so religious and we don't have the Holy Spirit, and we're always finding fault and always finding something wrong, either with our neighbor or with the minister or either with the brethren or the sisters, or somehow or another, we're just always something don't fit our fancy because we're carnal minded and because we're not in the Spirit. I remember a brother sitting here to my left. He said, "Brother Pike," he said, "you know, when I come here," he said, "I was in a terrible predicament." He said, "I thought that God had sent me here to straighten all you folks out." And he said, "and I was going around trying to do it." Whereas I told some of them when he was doing it, I said, "he's a fine fellow." I said, "and don't upset him. He's just a babe in Christ. Give him some time. Tutor him. Program his mind." You know, like a little baby, when they come in among you, you know how it is when you got a little baby that's mischievous? Some little babies, they'll just sit in the corner, you know, and just play around with any old thing. But some little babies, they'll climb up on the table and turn flip. So they'll climb up in a chair and turn the flip, or they're pulling this down, or they're tearing up the curtains, or they're doing something all the time. And you just have to go along and be kind and sweet to them and slap their hands once in a while and spank them, you know. And when you can, leave the spanking off, because they'll cry and pout with you. But nevertheless, this is the way that people get. See, if you don't have the kingdom of God on the inside of you, then are ye carnal. And to be carnally minded is problems and a problem maker. And if you don't have the kingdom of God on the inside of you, then that means that you're carnally minded, and that is death. To be carnally minded is death. Brother Pike, what is being carnal minded? To have natural things on your mind. See, I see this natural book called the Bible. I see you as a natural human body. I see this natural life. I see the natural things that are around me. 1, 2, 3, ABC, whatever there might be. I see all of these natural things. All through life, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I see these things. It's observation. I see these things. All of those things are carnal. As long as I see through these eyes, and that's the only place that I see, then I'm a carnal minded. And if I'm carnal minded, that means that Satan is interwoven with my thinking and these things, for he is the god of this world. And all of these things at the present, they're under the curse, and they belong to him. And he is the prince of the powers of the air. And he rules in the minds of the children of disobedience. And he has these great frolics of ball games and of jewelry and the TV movies that are unclean, and all these other kind of things, of non-virtuous things in the earth. All this laughter. The Bible said, "All the laughter of fools is like the crackling of thorns under the pot." See, he said, "The heart is made better in the house of mourning." So then all these things, see, and you're carnal-minded. That is, you savor the things that be of the world or the things that be of the flesh, whether it's passions or whatever it is. Therefore are you carnally minded, and ye have the spirit of death. Because the spirit of Lucifer, which is the spirit of death, darkness and ignorance, that knoweth not the way of eternal life. For Jesus said, "I am the way," and he's the word of spirit and light and life. And darkness cannot come to that word of spirit, light and life. And that's why that you cast out spirits with the word. I speak the word, and that is Christ. The way, the light, the life. And when you listen to that and hear that, Lucifer flees just like that. Because he cannot fellowship that in that light and darkness hath no fellowship. Now, so you see that if you have the kingdom of the world in you, then it's because of your first birth. As in Adam, all die. You still have the spirit of Lucifer through the fall of Adam and Eve and the weakness of the flesh. But if ye be born again, then is the spirit of Lucifer gone out of you. And the Bible says, when the spirit is gone out of you, it wandereth through dry places, seeking rest and cannot find it. And then it comes back to your body. It forces its way in with seven of the spirits more wretched and unclean, in that it hath not the strength to prevail against sanctification of its own self. So then you've been cleansed, you become a believer, you've been sanctified by faith in Christ. But having not been filled with the Spirit of God, you still don't have the kingdom of God within you, which is the Spirit of Christ. As to whatever measure you may receive it, or whatever measure it might be given to you, you don't have it if you've not really received the infilling of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is also eternal life. So then if you don't have this, then you're natural minded. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You may be religious. You may belong to the first church, as we say so often. You may belong to the one that established itself, the second church, you know, that got there a little late. You know, they got a first church and a second church. And what they do, the people that established the first church, they get upset if a second church comes in, because they want the people to know that they were there first, so they put the tag on there, the first church, to give them opportunity to get the people to the church first that was in that era, since it's two of the same kind. So you might belong to the first church, the second church, or the third church. I don't know which church you belong to. But there's one thing about it. If you don't belong to the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth, then that means you don't belong to anything. And the Bible said we've come to this great assembly of God, this great wonderful gathering of God, wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Therefore, being justified by faith, we are made perfect, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. So then we find if we don't have the infilling or the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, then we don't have eternal life. And if we don't have eternal life, it means that though we're ever so religious, and though we belong to the move as to the trend of religion in the day that we live in, yet we do not have salvation. We do not have a spiritual mind. We are carnal minded and we're still abiding in death. If you go to church this morning as just to a social thing, to get your conscience all clear, to have the preacher to preach to you, to clear up everything in your conscience, to tell you that God loves you, and to go out and eat and drink and be merry because God loves you, God created you, you belong to God. Don't feel bad just because you're sinning, because God sent Jesus to take away all of your sins. And if there's something that in your flesh you desire and it's going to take sinning, go on and do that thing and enjoy that thing and don't feel bad about it, because at the end of the way, everything is going to be well for you. That is to believe a lie and be damned, because you know all of that's lies. See, because at the end of the way, you're going to be put into the lake of fire. So then Jesus said, lest ye be born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Because I say to you, you do not wait to get into the kingdom of God. You do not wait to get good that God may save you. You do not wait until you perfect your life before God, and then if He meets you at the end of the way, say, you've finally done it. I give you enough days and years that you've finally done it. But just think what would happen to you if I cut you off 10 years ago. You know, you come to the altar 15 years ago. But just think where you would have been. But I gave you the extra 10 years and you finally got holy and good, and now I've saved you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you believe that anybody's that ignorant? That's what religion teaches today. You don't know much about religion, Pentecost or otherwise, if you don't understand that. That's exactly what they teach. See, but I'm teaching you that when you are born again, you'll leave off with the things of the world, and you'll get the devil out of you, and you'll put Christ in you, and you'll get away from the world, and you'll come out from the world, and you'll be a holy people, and you won't touch the unclean thing, because your nature will bring you out of the world, just like the nature of a sheep will bring it out of a hog waller. The hog's nature won't bring him out of the hog waller. He'll waller. But if that sheep gets in there, unless he gets stuck in the mud, if he gets stuck, he has to have a shepherd to help get him out, which has been the case at times. But unless he does, he'll get out of there, because he doesn't like the hog waller. It doesn't satisfy his feeling and his nature. See, and if you've got Christ, you'll get out of the hog waller. And all them that go out there to the hog waller and they keep saying, well, I love the Lord, I just went out to drink me a little beer and waller around a little bit, and I just got discouraged, and I decided I was going to watch a little bit of this filth, where the Bible said, cleanse yourself from the filth of the flesh. I just thought I was going to watch a little filth on television, and I know the Lord understood my weakness and drinking a little beer and having a little party, and God understands. Now I'm back again. I'm back again. And that's true. You are just as dirty and filthy as the pig that you really are. Let's give the Lord a hand. And it won't be long that you'll go back out there. The old sow stare around until she gets washed. And then she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. Or the old dog, he'll stay around till he gets free from his vomit, and then he'll go back to lapping his vomit. Jesus called them dogs and called them swine. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean you're calling them people dogs and swine? I certainly did not. I said the Lord said there were dogs and swine. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm on to repeating what he said. Now, so then we find that if you're clean, you're going to be clean in body, holy, in body and spirit, and in mind. And if you're religious and you're still wanting to hold on to the glitter and glamours of the world, and you're still looking for all those things of the world, and you've got to gossip a little bit, backbite a little bit, and you've got to prance around a little bit and showing your old body off or whatever it might be, you know, then your religion is in vain. The Bible said if any man or woman, that is, if they are among you and they are religious and bridleth not their tongue, their religion is in vain. If they talk about the things I told you not to talk about, and if their conversation is in the world and is gossiping and backbiting and fault finding with the church and with the people or whatever, whereas the Bible said, speak evil of no man, judge ye not, for ye shall be judged. Consider others better than yourself. Look on the things of another. Seek the welfare of another. See, if you're in that kind of condition, your mind is to your words, is to your thoughts, then you don't have salvation. Your religion is in vain. And if you are double-minded, that is, today you're with the church and tomorrow you're in the world. Today you're talking about holy things. Tomorrow you're talking about the ball games and the frolics of the world. And the next day you're talking about the church. And the next day you're wanting to fight. You're in a temper. You're done spewing all over everybody. You're having a fit. See, the Bible said you're double-minded, that you're unstable in all of your ways, and you don't have anything from God. And the Bible said, let that person not even think that they'll ever receive anything from God. It said, because they'll never even receive anything from God. And not only that, but when you're in that kind of condition, you don't receive anything in the world in the sense of ever being dependable or being stable. But of course, the world loves its own. If the world loves its own, you can mix and mingle with them, you know, and hobo around and leech around or con around. All right, it's getting stronger and the water's getting deeper. The farther we go, so I guess I better stop. But the thing is, if you've got Christ as spirit, you'll come out of the world. If you don't come out of the world, no matter what church you belong to, you still belong to the world. And your church belongs to the world, and your preacher belongs to the world, and your preacher is blind, he's straining at a gnat, and he's swallowing a camel, Jesus said. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. For the blind shall not see when good cometh. All right, let's stand together. Remember that the kingdom of God, the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. And to be carnally minded, you're dead. Living in trespasses and sin, you're dead while you live. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. That is to say, those that are in trespasses and sin, they're dead. Now, he said, I'm the resurrection. When you're born again, you're passed from death into life. For the resurrection has come into your heart. So, if you are carnally minded as to your passions and desires and whatever it might be, then are you without the covering of God, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Put ye on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his covering. Maybe we'll elaborate on that sometimes. We preached on the covering of the cherubs or the covering cherubs. Now, if you're in this kind of condition, you're not waiting for the coming of the Lord or salvation. Don't deceive yourself. You get salvation when you're born again. You get the Lord and he comes in your heart immediately when you're born again. And you get all of his glory and his wealth and his power and his magnificence and his eternal life and his protection, his securities, his blessing when you're born again. And all of this thing about trying to be good, to measure up to God, it's foolishness. All of you that are in that religious stride, you're carnal-minded, and if you'll check your life, you'll find out that what you're doing is staying under condemnation because your whole day is filled with eating and drinking and thinking of natural things and buying and selling and riding and going and finding fault and doing all kinds of things in the world, gossiping and backbiting. See, you'll find out that you're just plain carnal. And you've just never had a new birth. And there's no salvation to it. And it isn't going to get any better. And you're not going to get anything from God. Instead of getting better, all you're going to do is deceive yourself every day by finally repenting and repenting and staying around the foundation of repentance and not going on to the perfection of God as to the faith and understanding of the Lord. See, and you're just going to repent over and over, and then you're going to cry a little bit like Esau and say, well, God, forgive me. I'm all right now. And you'll go right back to your hypocriting around, and over you'll go. But folks, when you get the Lord Jesus in your heart, the Bible said you'll keep yourself in the evil one, touch you not. You'll be holy in body and in spirit. You'll cast down imagination and bring every thought to the subjection of Christ and the mind of Christ. And you'll leave the world and all of its ambitions and desires, and you'll want to lay up treasures in heaven, and you'll want your conversation to be in heaven, and you'll want to walk in the Spirit. And your whole desire day and night, as it was with the early church and the apostles and the prophets, will be that your mind is stayed upon Christ Jesus, and all of your paths will be paths of peace And you will be one of those that make peace, as a child of peace. All right, let's sing together, can we? It's good to be here tonight. As I say, we went down to Florida yesterday. Got to meet Mike, talked with him some about the Lord and some of the others, and he talked like he might be coming up this way to visit with us, and so did John. And I said he'd heard a lot about this. I said, well, I sure hope it's good. He said, all of it's been good. He said, my mother has the greatest kind of respect for him. Really got to talk to him about the Lord. Let's sing I Love Him. Can we sing it? I love Him. Can you sing that with me? I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree, every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, and we're trusting in the word divine. In the book, it is mine. We love the Lord. Let's give Him a hand. You know, it's good to come and worship the Lord, sing a song or two together. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend, and He cares for you. Sing it with me now. Someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. From the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you. God cares for you. And He's a friend to you. While we sing this next little chorus, then the altars are open. Sing this little chorus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to me.
today. Come into my heart, Lord. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail rough seas no more. Out over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe nevermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. I need Thee now, precious Savior, and oh, how I need Thee. So don't turn me away. Come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. So listen to Jesus and hear His sweet voice, and don't turn.
Lord is good to us. He is good. There's none good but God. While you're here tonight, having expressed the vision to you before, then where the Bible said all of my tables are filled with vomit. That is to say, because you're lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, I spewed you out of my mouth. And that which is spewed out of the mouth is vomit. And all of my churches are filled, as he would say, our tables are filled with lukewarmness. I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you were hot or cold. If you were cold, then I could give grace, he would say, because you're ignorant and do not know. And I would not have you ignorant, Paul said, but if you are not cold, then ye should know something about God. And ye should be fervent in the Spirit. The Bible said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And if you were fervent, then you would be hot. And I would that you would be on fire for God and burning with the fire and flame of Christ. But because you're not cold nor hot, then you are lukewarm. And I will spew thee out of my mouth. And all of my tables shall be filled with vomit. For in the latter times, it's the Laodicean church, which is the lukewarm church. Meaning people's right. Laodicean means people's rights. We're living in the day of people's rights. The woman said she wants her rights. The black man and woman says they want their rights. The white man and woman say they want their rights. The yellow man and woman say they want their rights. And the red man and woman say they want their rights. And all of them wants their rights. And the children demand their rights. If you don't give them their rights, they say, I'll call the police if you abuse me. So sissy, she goes and brother goes and you can't do anything about it. If you hit them and leave a bruise, then they put you in prison, saying you have abused the child. Well, that is to say, the devil that rules this world gets into the minds of the law and the people of this world. And he constrains them and programs them with the thought, go set that daughter free so she can be a harlot, and that little son free so he can be a drunkard and a whoremonger. Set them free. Put them in rebellion so that we as a bunch of devils can live in them. You've got a gun. You've got a badge. Not only that, but I'll pay you well. I'll put them all as slaves under tribute like Pharaoh did down in Egypt. And I'll make them pay you tribute. We'll put taxes on them and we'll put dues on them. And we'll do all these things to assess. And we'll covet and abuse until we can control everything that they've got. And so the little girl is gone. Her virtues are gone. The little boy's gone. His virtues are gone. Mother's gone. She's now a whore, a whorish woman, and daddy's now a whoremonger. It's like somebody recently talking to the wife's mother because the wife was in rebellion. You know, a preacher, all kinds of things are brought to him. People come for prayer. Share their problems. And in talking with the mother, he said, my wife is in rebellion, and said to give her a divorce. I cannot do that because I can only sign a divorce in case of fornication. And said the mother laughed and made a big joke out of it. And he said, well, I'll have to tell her to get herself a man and go ahead and have an affair. And said, then you can sign the divorce. This mother, of course, goes to an outstanding church. She's supposed to be, as to the cream of the crop in religion. She loved the Lord, she says, and the Lord loves her, and she's on her way to heaven. How do you understand what I mean about a reprobate mind? See, it would almost be a credit to her if they would put the title on this woman so everybody could see it. Garbage can. Empty your load here. Because it would be an honor to be a garbage can rather than to be what she is. Jesus said concerning Judas one time, said it had been good if that man had never been born. When a person in hypocrisy is like that, that old garbage can won't be bothered by God. But she'll be in the flames of hell screaming, and she'll be in the severeness of the wrath of God in such a way not only in the world to come, but in this world shall be in the wrath of God. See, don't be like that, folks. Don't have a reprobate mind. Believe the truth. Because if you don't believe the truth, the first thing that you know, you're believing somebody else. You're believing something else. And it sounds good to you. Nobody can't convince you that you're wrong. You're positive that you're right. You're positive that you're right. Because, see, you've already went out into the darkness and you cannot see the good anymore. So when we preach the truth to you and we tell you the truth and we detail the truth to you and we bring God's word as the proof of it, he that God sendeth will speak the truth. These words are truth. And the Bible said the Spirit of truth, even him that speaketh unto you. Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. And the Bible said we serve him in holiness and truth. Righteousness. All right, to love the Lord. Sing another little chorus together. Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. David Paul was telling me yesterday that he went over to visit with a brother. The brother's here tonight. He takes active parts in these services. Very fine person. But when he got there, he had his wife and little ones with him. And the little ones had gotten out to play. And at this brother's house, there was another person. And he was trying to talk with this person. This person kept using wretched terms. And said he kept cursing. And he would just evade it, trying to reach the man for God. And said, finally, the man said such grated things as to his little girls hearing it. He said, I rudely, without having any conversation with him, turned around and told my children, said, get in the car, and walked off, left him dumbfounded, which I think was a great thing and a good reproof. And said, I thought in my mind that if you're going to be like that and say those things, you know, to distort, to corrupt the little minds of children, and this brother is going to allow you to dwell at his house and do that, then I'm gone from you and the brother. He said, and I left Dad. And you know, that's the way you should do it, folks. Turn around and rebuke them openly that others may see and fear. For the Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. And when you rebuke a man afterwards, you find more favor than if you flatter him. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. You can tell a wise man, give him a sharp rebuke, and he'll come back in meekness and humility and acknowledge it if it's the truth, unless you're just being haughty and arrogant. And the Bible said, when you go to reprove a brother, ye that are spiritual, reprove such a one and restore such a one. Consider yourself lest ye be tempted also. If you're not spiritual, you don't need to mess with him. If you're not meek and humble. But rebuke them, reprove them. If you don't have enough backbone to do that, if you're too weak as a babe to do that, get away from them. Just move on out. Get away from them. Don't mess with them. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Said to the minister, reprove, 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 reprove. I know the flesh don't like it. The devil don't like it. And I know you rise up at me, you that are in the flesh. You that give place to the devil and come here with those things. See, no one better than to bring those things of abomination into the house of the Lord. Like a woman was sitting here a few nights ago, she went off and told her son, through the preaching it was revealed to her, she said that she knew that she had at least four devils, and she began to name them. The word will show them up. by her acknowledging those things as hope for. So then, let's don't be carnally minded. Can we sing again, Sister Dale? Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the fields, the trestle. Do your duty, never fail. Keep your hands upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rail. Blessed Savior, He will guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in that praise forevermore. Let's just stand together, lift our hands, close our eyes. And let's sing the little chorus we sing so often, I will praise Him. I will praise Him, I will praise Him, the Lamb, the one for whom sinners were slain. Let's praise Him. And I will praise Him, my will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Has washed away every stain. I'm going to ask Brother Willie to come and dismiss us as we sing, I will praise Him. My, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that the house of the Lord might be filled. You say, Brother Pike, I don't believe they want this. How did you get here? You didn't want it either. God has fashioned all men's heart alike to follow after the world as to the natural, and to follow after God in the spiritual. They don't want it as long as they're the natural. But if you be salty and make them thirsty, you get them thirsty, you live the right kind of life and talk to them the right way, it might take a year, 2 years. But after a while, they'll follow you. They become your follower. And you want a soul, and they become a jewel in your crown. And you lead them to the shepherd. And you lead them to the fold. Sheep beget sheep. Shepherds don't beget sheep. Sheep must multiply among themselves as they fellowship one another. So go out. Bring them in. It's like one of the policemen in town. He was telling David Paul, he's become a friend of mine, and he wanted to see me the other day and talk to me, whereas I didn't get a chance to talk with him. Sometimes I do. But he said, I sure would love to come out, David, and go through the house that y'all are building. He said, that's the prettiest house I ever seen in my life. Like I said, I just love to be able to go through it just to look at it. I remember one working at down at the airport down there in Florida. Boy by the name of Cody, I believe is his name. Young fella. Going into training there. He said, what I've heard about little Bethlehem, he was telling me, he said, I'm coming up there to see that place. Said, I want to see that place. And everywhere we go, we talk about God, little Bethlehem, the home of the soul, world evangelism, and it's getting into hearts all over the world. When we had boats, it got into the sailors' hearts. It got all along the coast. All along the coast, we went from Florida to Texas and around, Louisiana, wherever. And among the airports, airports everywhere, around the nation and across the world, it gets into their hearts. And in recording studios, television studios, or in auditoriums or in cities, or in private conversations, or with the sheriff or with the banker, or wherever it might be. And the flame continues to burn. Greater and mightier it burns. Nobody's able to put it out. Greater and mightier it burns as it devours the chaff. While Will is coming, let's sing that together. To give